Today, we're talking to a first-timer before and after her September Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 57 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 57. Today's episode is not only one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done, but it's also the longest. So I'm not going to spend too much time here at the beginning because there's a lot to get into. Before we do that, just two things. One is that during the interview, I made a comment about getting fast passes with Halloween party tickets. And I just want to clarify before you listen to that, that you can get fast passes from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. before the party, but not during the party. And just a reminder that there's always a quick tip of the day at the end, so stay tuned for that. And with that, I want to just go ahead and jump into today's interview, which is with Cindy. And she just returned from her first trip, and you'll hear all about that. And it's one of my favorites ever. So here goes Cindy. Today, we're joined by Cindy, who's getting ready to go on her Disney World trip. Welcome to the podcast, Cindy.
Thank you.
So happy to have you here. I always like talking to people. And is this going to be your first trip to Disney World?
This is going to be my children's first trip. It may as well be my first trip. I haven't been. The last time I was there, MGM, which I guess is Hollywood Studios, wasn't even built.
Okay.
So it's been many years.
Yeah. So it's your first trip that you're planning for sure.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to walk through some of the decisions you've made about your trip, but I know that it started in a fun way with a surprise. So tell us how this trip originally began.
Okay. Well, I've always wanted to go. And I had this little stash, this little Disney envelope stash that I'd been saving money in. And this past Christmas, I decided very late in the game that I wanted to get my husband an iPad. Well, long story short, I decided so late. I'm like, I'm not going to have enough money and I'm not going to be able to do this. So I was in my secretary. I found my envelope and I'm like, well, here's all the money I need. And I was like, but Disney, I'm not going to be able to do Disney. And I was just like, you know, that's just going to have to figure itself out. And so I let it go, went off, got the iPad, and I was really ambivalent. I was really just like, this is really kind of sad. So anyway, Christmas morning comes. We are opening presents. I give him the iPad. He's all excited. Thank you. Thank you. Whatever. And he had no idea of the Disney envelope thing. That was a complete My Little Secret from everybody. And he had been acting really weird and he went out and bought everybody the kids' presents, which he normally doesn't. And because I usually take care of all that. And he's like, well, I've got some presents. And so he gave my youngest her present, and it was the Little Mermaid movie set. And then he gave her twin brother the Mousetrap game. And then he gave my oldest, who is almost 12, an iPod case, which had Mickey Mouse on it. Mm-hmm. And then he gave me two blocks of cheese. And it was wrapped up, two blocks of cheese, and I didn't put any of this together. I was just kind of caught up in the moment, you know, whatever, whatever. And then that was it. And we just kind of went on back to Christmas. And then we're picking up and he goes, okay, I've got one more. And he handed me this box and I opened it up and inside were three Disney travel planning books and a very large check made out to me. And it was like Disney Vacation. I just couldn't even comprehend it. The kids were screaming, running around the room. And I just was dumbfounded. And then I explained to him the whole iPad story. And he was like, this is like the gift of the Magi. Cause you know, neither one had known that the other was planning that stuff. So it was really sweet and really surprising. And we were really excited about it.
Well, that's a really cute story because I think most of the time when people think about surprises, it's the parents planning to surprise the kids.
Right.
Yeah. But so this is more fun because now you're surprised. So that's a really fun way to start, especially when you didn't think you're going to be able to do it because you were using money for other things. So once you received the check and the guidebooks, was it then your job to plan it for your...
Hey, that's me. That's all. I'm the planner. And he was like, I will never get tired of hearing Disney plans. You do whatever. And Immediately I started in on those books, and it was pretty overwhelming, I have to say. But I got right in on it, and we went on a trip that weekend for New Year's, and by the time we returned, I had the dates, the room, and most of the restaurants picked. I mean, I had spent time on the road while we were road tripping at just researching and having fun with that. So yeah, it was fun.
Well, I think you're lucky to not only have him surprise you, but for him to also be so enthusiastic about the planning process, because I think what happens with most couples is that one is the planner and one is not, and the non-planner often doesn't see the value in the planning, especially if you've never been. So I think you're lucky to have somebody that is excited with you.
He has been fantastic through it all, because I've consulted him on things, and I'll, you know, the catchphrase is, okay, I have to have a very serious conversation with you. And it's usually something about Disney and just a decision I'm about to make that's, you know, kind of a big decision. And he's like, okay. And he's like, really pays attention and like listens to the whole thing. So it has been really cool.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. So you got the go ahead on Christmas 2013, and the dates you chose were for September 2014. How did you decide that?
Well, I don't know. I hope we get to go back again, but I didn't know if we would. And I just wanted to maximize everything possible. And I wanted to go in a time where there weren't going to be a lot of crowds. And I knew the kids would be in school, but I wanted it to be the best it could be. Now, it is the middle of hurricane season, and I've just been, you know, I have to give that one up, you know, and just live in the faith that that's going to be okay. But to me, it seemed like the best time. If I had it to do over again, and the only reason I didn't is I didn't want to wait this long, is I would do it in the first 2 weeks of December so we could see all of the Christmas decorations. But that's how I came to it, was I did not want a lot of crowds.
Yeah. And I think it's a fantastic time to go. It's one of the best times to go in order to have low crowds, but, whether if you want to go swimming, because like if in December, you may not be able to do that. So if you kind of want to do the best of everything, right, I think it's a really good time to go. Do you happen to be using free dining?
No. Actually, what I did get very early on, sometime around February or March, they had a deal for a free memory maker. And it worked into this free memory maker and then a discount off of your hotel room. So it was much more than the cost of the memory maker that came off the top. And when the free dining and discounts came out, it didn't work out for us because we're a family of five. So the only moderate place we can stay is Port of Orleans. And for, you know, for five people. So we were going to wind up spending more money to change, to get a big discount on a room. And the free dining wasn't offered where we're staying.
And so where are you staying?
We are staying at Port of Orleans Riverside.
Okay.
In a preferred room.
All right. You are staying at Port Orleans Riverside, and I think you'll like it there. It's a beautiful place. Okay. Yeah. So what are your exact dates again in September?
September 6th through the 11th.
Okay. So September 6th through the 11th, and you're driving there from where?
Southern Virginia.
Okay. So you're driving there from Virginia. So are you leaving on the 5th?
We are leaving as soon as the kids get home from school on the 5th, and we're going to drive as, you know, far as we can. And it's an 11-hour drive. So mm-hmm. It's not that bad. We are road trip people. We have a complete system, so we'll be fine.
Okay. So then you're going to be there September 6th, the 11th at Port Orleans Riverside. And, so let's talk about what you plan to do once you get there. Like how are you allocating your time between parks?
Okay. So, the first day we get there, I've decided, and I have my plan in front of me and it's very structured, but I have kind of my plan B in the back of my head too. The first day I've allocated to just chilling at the resort, letting the kids go swimming, taking advantage of the campfire story time. I scheduled a carriage ride, and I just figured because we're going to be so busy the rest of the time that I wanted to take advantage of all the things that the resort has, you know, that, so, that's kind of what I planned, to do that day.
I think that's a good idea. Not only does it make your first arrival day less hectic, but you often don't get to take advantage of the things at your resort if your plans are all away from your resort. So it's good that you've allowed for some time to do that. So I assume that the next day you will be headed to a park. So where will you be going that first park day?
Correct. And we'll leave very early in the morning for Magic Kingdom. And they open at 9.
Okay. And so are you doing that one day or multiple days?
I'm doing it multiple days. I have not purchased tickets for, but am planning to do the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party on, let's see, that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, so you've got a full day at Magic Kingdom on your first park day. And in addition, you've got a Halloween party, which will be 5 to 8 hours of more time at Magic Kingdom.
Exactly.
Okay, and then are you doing all the other parks once, or are you skipping a park or two?
We do not have Epcot on the schedule. What I have is Magic Kingdom the first day, Hollywood Studios the second day. The third day is going to be sleep in, chill at the resort day, and then the Not So Scary Halloween Party that night, and then, or starting at 4. And then the next day, I have us back at the Magic Kingdom, but I'm not afraid to change that. If they're tired of the Magic Kingdom and they want to do something else, then we'll go back. Then we'll do Epcot. And then the last day on our way out, I have Animal Kingdom.
That's, I think that's really reasonable. You're not going to be too frantic, and you're allowing for some flexibility to see what everybody's into. I forgot to ask at the beginning, who is in your family? What are the ages of your children?
Okay, so it's my husband and I, and then we have a 12-year-old daughter, and then we have 9-year-old twins, boy-girl twins, Sawyer and Sage. So, yeah.
I recently did a podcast about doing Disney World with older kids, and your kids aren't quite old enough to be considered older kids, like teenagers, but they are old enough to have input. So I think it's great that you have that day open, and I regret not saying that in my podcast about older kids, because it's, you know, they have input, and they might say, hey, I would really like to try Epcot, or I really miss some stuff at Magic Kingdom. And I'm glad that you've allowed for that, because you never know what they're going to come up with.
And because we have two parents, we could even split up if people want to do that. So that's something else I thought about.
Yeah. So that'll be excellent, I think. So, all right. So that's how you're allocating your time. Are you doing anything else, like Downtown Disney or water parks or anything like that?
So like the first day when we have some time, that that might be a fun time to jump on the boat and go to Downtown Disney. The first night that we do, Magic Kingdom, we are going to do the Pirates and Pals fireworks voyage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a late night. And then perhaps one of the other nights we'll get over to Downtown Disney, but it's not something that, you know, with kid, like my vision of Downtown Disney is you can go, you can have drinks and stuff like that. And, you know, with the kids, I don't know if we'll really want to try to pull that off.
Yeah. It used to be much easier to do that stuff. Cause they had more like clubs and bars and stuff, and they took those out, and now they're putting new ones in, but I think it's more just like shopping. So I'm not a huge shopper, but a lot of people that like to shop like Downtown Disney.
And I hear it's under construction as well.
It is. Because you can take the boat there, you will have less issues. I think a lot of the issues are around parking, because there's not very easy parking right now. So if you do happen to go, I think it'll be easier for you than somebody who's driving themselves there.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about dining. How did you decide where to eat? And are there special reservations that you're really looking forward to?
Well, I really just went down the list of restaurants, you know, on their website, and I did not find you until after my 180 day mark.
Mm-hmm.
So when I originally did my dining plans, I had it all messed up. I had us in the wrong places to do. I didn't really understand the layout, and I hadn't made a touring plan. I hadn't done all these things. So anyway, all that is to say, the first night I had reservations at what is that place in Port of Orleans?
Boat Rights.
Yes, I had reservations, but I didn't want to be locked into that, so I actually canceled them. But we may wind up eating there. The next night at we are going to Chef Mickey's,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll be right there for the Pirates and Pals. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to Chef Mickey's and the whole Pirates and Pals thing. And the kids really got hooked on getting excited about Disney when we watched Peter Pan. And so I'm excited about the whole Pirates and Pals thing. Then when we're in Hollywood Studios, we're eating at 50s Prime Time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. When we do the not so scary Halloween party, I think we're just going to grab like quick service, 'cause I don't want to waste time eating, you know, sitting down at a table service meal. So we may, I think we'll just, you know, do breakfast at the hotel and, you know, that just kind of be, you know, grab whatever kind of day. Oh, my bad. I forgot one thing. That the morning on of Hollywood Studios, we're having breakfast at Hollywood and Vine, because I took your quick tip and I really want my son to be able to do the Jedi training. So I could, that's the only reason I booked it. And that was one of those serious conversations I had with my husband. I was like, this is really the only reason I'm doing this, is I want to get in line to get Sawyer signed up for this Jedi training. So, we're going to eat breakfast there.
So you're doing that before the park officially opens, and then you're going to, yes, you're going to leave the meal to get immediately into the line for Jedi training.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, that's smart though. I mean, it's a competitive thing to do and you shouldn't have any issues with it.
Yeah. So. so we'll get that taken care of. And then, I'm really excited about the second to last night. We are going to do the Hoop-Dee-Doo musical review. And I guess that's, I don't even know where that is, but yeah, we're going to do that.
It's at Fort Wilderness. And if you're going to be getting there from your hotel, you'll probably actually end up taking the bus to Magic Kingdom and then take the boat over to Fort Wilderness, because it deposits you right there where the show is.
Okay.
So that'll be good. But I mean, because that's the biggest issue, is how to get there. It's kind of out of the way, but it's a fun show. So you have lots of good plans.
Yeah.
So you made dining plans at the 180 day mark before you knew of me and my suggestion. Did you go back and revise them?
Multiple times.
I was going to say, 'cause the ones you just said sound like ones I would recommend. So it sounds good to me.
And I nailed them down. Of course I added the Hollywood and Vine, but I got them all nailed down, and then I finally decided to get the ebook, which really changed my entire life, because I'd been stressing about it for 3 or 4 months, and then in an hour I was done, and I was like, well, maybe it took me 2 hours, but that just helped me understand things so much better.
Good. And what she's talking about is the ebook I have for sale. I actually don't mention it on the podcast very much at all.
Sorry.
Better for you to bring it up than me, because it sounds like an advertisement when I do it. But what's great about it, I think, is that it condenses all the information down into the bare minimum that you need, and you can actually put together a trip plan within an hour, hopefully.
Well, that's exactly was my experience, because if you remember, I got those 3 touring books, and planning this trip is overwhelming. Those books are they're helpful, but they're overwhelming. And having just the basic information, like I said, I stressed for 3 or 4 months, but then I was done in 2 hours. So
good. I am glad. You know, when people send me their trip plans to review, because anybody who buys the ebook can do that, and I will look at their worksheets, I have almost always had good plans sent. And so I think, okay, this is really effective, because people are putting together plans that work. So I'm glad that that works,
yes,
for you as well. Are you going to use the maps that came with the ebook during your trip?
Yes, I am. I have them all printed off. I spent a lot of money on this fabulous binder from one of those websites you recommended. And I have it all, everything printed out and in here. And I've studied them profusely and matched them up with my plans and thought about, you know, where we're going to be and where we're going to go next. And actually, I've assigned my husband tomorrow night. We kind of have a time set aside for me to explain all of these plans to him, because I've made all these great plans, but if he doesn't understand them, it's going to be a disaster, because I'm going to need a navigator. So my job is to tell him where we're going, and his job is going to be to get us there. So that's kind of what my strategy is going to be once in the parks.
Yeah, that's good. Especially when you want to have a united front when you're trying to navigate the kids everywhere with you. So
yeah.
So that's good.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. So now we're kind of working our way through the 6-step planning process. Let's talk about touring plans. Not detailed ride by ride ones, but you know, just your general experiences with getting FastPass Plus reservations and sort of trying to put your touring plans together. How did that go for you?
It went really well. I've listened to all your podcasts. It's my Sunday morning treat, and I listened to the FastPass one probably 3 times, because I think that it's very complicated. complicated to understand that if you've never done it before. And I've never done it before. And so after listening to it and playing with it before I actually had to make the reservations, I feel like I've made the best decisions. So, for the day that we're in Magic Kingdom, I got fast passes for Peter Pan's Flight, Enchanted Tales with Belle, and Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm, good.
And then at Hollywood Studios, I did fast pass for Voyage of the Little Mermaid, Star Tours, and Toy Story Mania. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have them on here. I got fast passes during the Halloween party, but I don't have them. I didn't type them out on my plan.
No, I don't think you did because they don't allow them during the Halloween party.
Really?
Mm-mm.
They nope. Let me sign up for them. Oh, well, I don't guess it really matters, but anyway.
Yeah, it just depends if you're going to be there before the party starts and using a park ticket. Like if you do that, they'll let you. But during the party, I don't think they're actually available because you won't need them. Everything should be a walk-on almost.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So that'll be easy.
Yeah. I got, let's see. So the second to last day I actually have is scheduled in Magic Kingdom. And I have, again, Tomorrowland Speedway, Anna and Elsa. And Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And again, I've been playing with the app a lot and like watching it and watching like the times of rides and stuff. And so like, I feel confident in like, okay, if I don't need this fast pass, I could just change it and, you know, make it something different.
Yes.
If there's no line, say, or, you know.
Yes.
Passes for Kilimanjaro Safaris, Expedition Everest, and Finding Nemo.
Good. Those all sound excellent to me. You've done your homework. So I think a lot of people, when they spend months planning, they get very anxious about it, but you have to remember that less than 10% of people plan. So
yeah.
just know that the fact that you have a plan means that it's going to go really well. And you've done a great job with putting it together. It all makes a lot of sense to me. So the last step is extra magic. And you've mentioned some things that already to me fall in that category. Like you're doing the Pirate and Pals cruise and you're doing the Halloween party. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned that might fall into that category?
Well, I've been doing things all along. And one of the things we have that I immediately started is what I call Disney Education Hour. And what that consists of is our kids, we've had them watch all the movies like that from our childhood, like Indiana Jones, all the Star Wars movies, Pirates of the Caribbean. And so they're a little scary for my youngest, but we've made it through all of them. And like I said, when they watched, they were like, oh my gosh, here we go. Disney Education Hour again, because they have no concept of what's about to happen to them. And they're like, I can't believe we have to do this. Well, when we watched Peter Pan, they applauded when the movie was over, and then it became, okay, what movie are we going to watch next? And so it's been a wonderful family time where we just all sit around and eat popcorn, and we've watched so many movies together and connected it to, you know, what's happening in Disney. We watched Swiss Family Robinson and Mary Poppins and all kinds of movies. And we have Disney conditioning because we're even doing a lot of walking. So I've been walking as a family to get everybody, well, I say everybody, really my youngest, prepared because she's not as active as everybody else. And I don't want her to be miserable. The kids all have a jar that's decorated, and I have a bowl of marbles. And so if somebody gets caught doing something especially nice or being especially helpful, they get a marble, and every marble's worth a dollar, and all their allowance goes in the jar. And so they're building up money, you know, to have at the park. But I also, my Tinkerbell gifts for when we're at the park are gift cards that I ordered at Disney. So I got them in increments of $25, and I'm doing, you know, they'll have so much money for souvenirs to spend. I'm not going to be that parent that's like, oh, don't spend $60 on a stuffed animal. It's their money. They can spend it on whatever they want. When it's gone, but they can do whatever they want with it. But the best is and this is actually my husband's idea, because I wanted to do some kind of countdown, and I was going to do a countdown from 10, and he's like, no, do it from 12, and we'll do the 12 days of Disney. So every evening, and it's just a brown paper bag and a cutout of Mickey ears and a number on it. So we started Sunday with 12. There's a little something in each bag that they need and for the trip. So like the first bag was glow sticks. The second bag was a bit belt. The next bag was a roll of quarters and a roll of pennies for the penny machines. Tonight is the M&M, the mini M&M thing, because that will hold the pennies, you know, while we're on the trip.
Yep.
And I have things like a water bottle with a carabiner, a Mr. Fan thing, just things that they need in the park. Gum is in one of them. And so each night we take a picture next to my little framed thing I have that I dry erase, I write my number on, and we make a big deal out of opening the thing. And I kind of talk to them about this whole thing because there'll be a million questions, and I'm trying to cut to avoid that so that they go into it kind of understanding, like, this is not a regular vacation. This is serious. This is just, there's a lot of planning involved, and we got to do what mom says, basically, is what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So those are my extra.
That is excellent. And I think that you exemplify the planning is half the fun idea.
It is so much fun. I can't believe people would miss out on this. And the other thing too is, you know, your packing list. I started picking things up in, you know, 8 months ago. And if you went out and had to, you know, purchase all this stuff in the weeks before your trip, you kind of really cut into your budget too. So I don't know. It's been nice to kind of collect all these things all along to make our trip, you know, smooth and happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a lot, but if you spread it over several months, then hopefully it's manageable.
Yes.
Well, I have loved hearing about it, and I can't wait to talk to you when you get back and hear how it went.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, I don't want to come back, but I am excited to talk to you about it.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
And Cindy is back from her trip. Hello, Cindy.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I am excited to talk to you about your plans because I loved hearing about your plans. So I'm excited to see how they all worked out. So let's go back to some of the things that you said in the first part of this interview before your trip and see how things went. First of all, you began your trip with an 11-hour drive to Port Orleans Riverside. How did that part of it go pretty smoothly?
Yeah, it went great. We spent the night in Savannah, Georgia, and we got up the next day and, you know, drove right to our resort. And it almost made me cry because the kids have been picking on me because I've been so obsessed about the trip. And I'd be like, pay attention, guys, you know, you don't know what we're going to see. And when we drove through the little where the sign is that was like, welcome to Walt Disney World, it wasn't by me, but the amount of screaming in the car was just unbelievable. It was just so funny. They got so excited.
That is a sweet moment. It never gets old either, I don't think. I love it as well. That's a sign you're finally there, especially after an 11-hour drive. That's probably a welcome sight. So you arrived at Port Orleans Riverside, and if your plans were to sort of do stuff at the resort that day, how did your arrival day end up going?
It went pretty well. The weather gave us some interesting challenges throughout the week, which we dealt with pretty well, but the kids were going to go swimming and a storm came up that didn't really go away. So that kind of, thwarted that for a minute, but, it was fine because they just ran around, you know, inside the buildings and checked things out. And, you know, I had prepared them with pressed pins. We did some of those. I have a friend that lives in Orlando that I hadn't seen in a decade, and she and her husband actually came over and had dinner with us there. And that was great. And the kids had fun. It was Boat Rights where we ate. And so they were fine. I mean, it was fun. We were just relaxed and chilled. And we went on a carriage ride. The rain stopped. We got to go on a carriage ride around the resort, which that gives you perspective of how huge. The place is. And so I was so glad that I had requested a particular building in the preferred room section because we were very close to the pool and And the food court and all that.
Yeah, the main building. Yeah, so at least with a preferred room, like if you pay for an advance, you're guaranteed to be in one of those close buildings. So
yes,
yeah, that's good. Before they added that preferred option, we used to put in those requests for, you know, building, I think it's 14 or 15, I think it is. But a lot of people were doing that, so they decided they could charge for it. But I always recommend that. Port Orleans Riverside is so big.
It's
just enormous. But so your first impressions of the resort, you loved it, beautiful, all that kind of stuff?
Loved it. Thought it was great. I had requested a corner room in building 14. Mm-hmm. We immediately decorated our little window with, you know, white lights and stuffed animals and stuff. And, you know, just got kind of settled in with all the stuff that I had brought from the packing list to make our trip smooth and stuff. And so we just got set up and it was great.
Do you know somebody once packed every single thing on that packing list?
I remember hearing that. And mm-hmm. The first thing I did was went through it and crossed off, okay, I don't have a baby. We're not doing water parks. And then just kind of like, and I would read through it because it could be overwhelming. But I will say I used a lot of that stuff, like the over-the-door
shoe organizer.
Shoe holder. Mm-hmm. Genius. Mm-hmm. Genius. And I had like a small plastic tote that had a lot of little things in it. And it would be like, my husband would be like, I wish we had quart size Ziplocs. Hold on 1 second. I'll go grab one, you know? So yeah, we had everything we needed to make our trip go very smooth.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love about the packing list is that for me, it's just a reminder of things that you think might come in handy, but it's certainly not a list of everything you should bring because you would be paying for like luggage fees if you ended up bringing all that stuff. Anyway, I'm glad that that was helpful and that the resort was good for you and that you enjoyed it and got your room request. So mm-hmm. you're off to a good start. So your first full park day was an early morning at Magic Kingdom, correct?
Yes.
So how did that go? How did that day start?
I of course was up at 5, getting myself ready. We got right on the bus. It's the whole like getting to the park took about a half an hour. We were there with, I want to say like an hour, more than an hour to wait. Cause I don't know. I wanted to be around everything. And, but we had fun waiting. I brought bubbles, the kids played, they entertained other little kids. And we waited. And of course all the cast members are real engaging and stuff. And so, we got there and they started to take the ropes away and I didn't know how it was going to go. And so when we walked in the park and we're walking behind the people and they're holding the rope and mm-hmm. they're kind of leading you through the park. I didn't know that that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when we turned the corner and saw that the castle, I might've teared up. And
okay. We were just like, you did.
Yeah, I did. And we just walked and our first thing was the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And they were just kind of, you know, telling everybody if you want to go there or if you want to go some other popular place, it might've been the Princess Fairy Tale Hall. I'm not sure, but you know, they were kind of leading us in the direction. So we got right in line for Seven Dwarfs and we're like all there and it's 5 minutes of 9 and we're just ready to go. And at 9 o'clock they come over. The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train has a mechanical problem. And we were like, oh no. So people started leaving the line and my husband was like, no, let's just hang out for a minute. And 10 minutes later, it was back up and running. So I'm glad we didn't leave because we did one other attraction and the wait time was an hour.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you did not have a fast pass for it. You just were going to ride it first.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So mechanical issues are a crummy way to start, but I'm glad that it was up in 10 minutes because
it was only 10 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least it got fixed. But I find those kind of challenges sort of hard to navigate sometimes because it's hard to know how to plan for those. And like you said, the wait is an hour. If you leave, you're not going to get to ride it. So mm-hmm. anyway, mm-hmm. I'm glad you got to ride it.
Yep. That was fun. I could see my youngest was not a fan of roller coasters and that was going to be interesting. And I have some funny stories, you know, for later in the week. But so we just started hitting attractions and I did, what was the one that I did? I did the Enchanted Tales with Belle. Mm-hmm. not realizing further down on my list that I had a fast pass for it. So we went through Fantasyland and knocked the entire thing out at 12:30. I mean, mm-hmm. we had done everything and we hadn't used, we only used one fast pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't need to because we walked on most of the rides. And I had prepared each kid with one of those drawstring backpacks, and inside it had like their, you know, their money and their bubbles and all the stuff and their poncho. And, we got on Dumbo, and I mean, this storm just came up out of nowhere, and my husband and my two youngest jumped off and the ride took off, and we didn't see our oldest. And we're like, where is she? Where is she? We don't see her. And we're like looking. And so I'm looking at each person as they're flying past me. And there she is sitting in a Dumbo thing. She'd whipped out her poncho and had it on, and it was pouring down rain on her, but she was riding that ride. It was so funny. But so the rain came, and we had a fast pass for Be Our Guest, mm-hmm. For lunch. Mm-hmm. That was really chaotic. Even though we had the fast pass, it still took a half an hour for us to sit down and eat, which I guess that's the norm. I'm not sure what the holdup really was, but it still was a long line to wait.
Did you observe that they were not letting anybody in the standby line? Like if somebody just walked up, were they allowed to get in, or was it just fast pass people?
They were, at that point, they were not letting anybody. They were telling people who were going to in the standby line that it was like an hour and a half wait, you know, and that kind of thing. And I got confused. I thought you could get in a fast pass line 15 minutes ahead of time, but it was really 5 minutes ahead of time. And I was there 15 minutes early, and they're like, oh no, you're too early. You have to come back. So I was like, oh shoot. So,
And just to clarify, your confusion is that you can be 15 minutes late, but you can only be 5 minutes early.
Right.
So, right. Yes.
Yeah. So they finally let us through, and there was this long line to wait to get in, and we were starving, and the food was good. So,
yeah, that's, I appreciate you sharing that, even though it wasn't, you know, exactly magical, because I think that they're tinkering with the systems there, and it's changing the dynamics and making the lines maybe longer, because we've never had lines even in just waiting in the standby line. We've never had too much of a wait, certainly not 30 minutes. So,
it might've been the time of day. It was 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so it might've been, you know, was the issue. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely would contribute. We tend to eat there closer to 11, just to avoid the long lines, but still with the fast pass, you would think you would have less than 30 minutes. But anyway, okay. Yeah. So you did all of Fantasyland, then you did Be Our Guest. And so at this point, it sounds like it's probably 2 o'clock or something. So
yeah, it was 2 o'clock. Then we moseyed over. I think we did, the teacup things. We did the Tomorrowland Speedway. We started moving in that direction. We decided we were going to ride Space Mountain, and it's actually at this point it's like 2:30, and my youngest is like, I'm done. And I was like, okay. I was like, we can go. I was like, I'll take you back to the hotel. And I told my husband, I was like, you can keep the other two and I'll take her. And they were like, we want to go back to the hotel. I was like, let's go, because I was observing little children just miserable. And it's like, I just saw people really pushing their kids too hard. And I'm like, I have this plan, but I'm not trying to kill anybody. You know, I want everybody to have fun. So we rode Space Mountain, and we were about to leave, and another storm came up. Mm-hmm. So we played in the arcade there for a while, which was fun. The kids really enjoyed it. But the rain didn't stop, and I got ponchos for my kids, but not for my husband and me. I don't know why. I guess I just didn't think I would wear a poncho. So we just bought them there in the gift shop. They were $9, and they say Walt Disney World. So we have them. Mm-hmm. And we walked out of the park, and we went back to our hotel, and we just let everybody they all laid in their bed and just, you know, played their video games and chilled out, because we had dinner at Chef Mickey's that night, and then the Pirates and Pals fireworks cruise that we were going on. So,
but I want to say something about this too, because your kids are 9, 9, and 12. So you don't have tiny kids that are used to napping anymore. Right. And I don't either, but I find afternoon breaks, still essential sometimes. And so I think it's important to listen, because especially it's your first full day in the parks and you're probably tired from traveling. You were up early and it's good, I think, to sort of stay in tune. And if you have good touring plans like you did, there's no reason that you can't take a break because you've already accomplished so much. So I think it's good not to push everybody and drive everybody crazy. So hopefully you had a nice break and you were able to go back to the Magic Kingdom in order to get over to the Contemporary, right?
Actually, we drove over there. We had our car, so we just drove over to the Contemporary and parked.
And did they let you park there because you had a reservation, or did you valet? How'd that work?
They let us park there. I had called just to make sure we could, and they said it was fine, so we just parked there.
Okay.
So we did that. We went in. We sat down for our dinner. The kids really liked Chef Mickey's. I thought the food was terrible. I'm a foodie.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be aware when there's a buffet, but the kids, I think my kids kind of like buffets because there's all the choices and then there's the dessert bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they ate, and I was happy about that, but I was just like, ugh. But the experience of Chef Mickey's was really nice. You know, the characters all came around our table. Our waiter, we had to leave to go on the cruise, and they hadn't seen Minnie yet. And he kind of arranged a special spot for us to go and meet her and get her autograph. And because my kids, you know, they were like, we don't care about these characters. They got everybody's autograph, and they loved meeting the characters. They really did. So we did that, and then we headed the Pirates and Pals fireworks voyage took off there from the Contemporary. So we just walked down and we went into this sort of like a smaller ballroom kind of thing where they had all kinds of food. I mean, we had just eaten, so nobody really took advantage of it, but there were two cakes, a freezer full of ice cream treats, lemonade, iced tea, candy, cotton candy, coffee, you know, whatever you could possibly want to have. You know, junk wise, it was all there. And we had a meet and greet with Smee and Captain Hook, and we got our picture taken. That's actually, it's a fun picture we have. And we just kind of hung out. And then these two funny characters came and got us and loaded us all up on the boat. And, I forgot to mention when we did Enchanted Tales with Belle earlier in the day, my husband and son were picked to be my son was the beast and my husband was a guard. And that was really funny. And then when we did the Pirates and Pals thing, my husband got picked to be in this like funny skit the guy did where he just told him things to do. And it was hilarious. I mean, it was like he had to scream like a girl. He had to act like he was running really fast. I mean, it was funny, and everybody was laughing, and he engaged a lot of people on the boat to do lots of things, and it was a fun time.
That's cute. I bet your kids got a kick out of it.
And we watched.
I bet your kids got a kick out of that too.
They did, and they got picked to do some things with him too, and it was like, you know, Disney trivia and stuff, and you know, he gave away prizes. And of course, I was very excited and enthusiastic, and he made a lot of fun of me because he's like, "You're the most excited guest of the night." And anyway, it was fun, and we enjoyed the fireworks, and they, you know, piped in the music, which was cool, and it was a lot of fun. And then we got off, and we were walking back, and the kids and I are just, you know, kind of talking, and then Peter Pan crowed like a rooster and scared the heck out of all of us, and so we got a little visit with him. And that was fun. And then we left and we went back to our hotel.
And were you glad that you had a car to drive back? Because I know that, you know, after the fireworks, it can be kind of crazy. Or did you observe any of the crowds coming out at all?
Yeah, no, I was glad to not have to, you know, go find a bus and do all of that. Because even when you get to the resort, the Port of Orleans has four stops, and sometimes our stop would be the last one. Sometimes it would be the first one, but so we just hopped back in our car and went back to the hotel.
I think it's a good tip because although when people have a car, they always say, should I drive to all the parks? And I always say, I think it's more convenient to drive to the parks, except for Magic Kingdom, because you have to park and then take the monorail or the ferry over. But with, in your case, you were at the Contemporary, so you were allowed to park there. And so that was actually much more convenient. But yeah. I wouldn't normally recommend somebody drive to the Magic Kingdom, but the way it worked out for you sounds pretty ideal.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the end of your first full day. And if I have my notes correct, the next morning was Hollywood Studios with a breakfast at Hollywood and Vine. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
That is true. And that was done.
And you were doing, this was a strategy because you were going to try to get into the Jedi training line to get your child or children signed up for that. So walk me through it.
Okay. So we got there and we drove to the park. We parked. The hiccup we had that morning is my oldest lost her Magic Band. So we first had to go to the guest relations and get that resolved. And we were already running late for our breakfast reservation. But they acted like that was no big deal. I mean, so we got the Magic Band. That took a few minutes. And then we went to Hollywood and Vine. And I kept telling my kids, when we eat, please make sure that you eat so you're not hungry, because, you know, sometimes they'll pick at things and then 20 minutes later, you know, they want to eat. So it was a wonderful meal. I mean, that was one of my favorites, because the breakfast, it was a breakfast buffet, but it was very, very good. And they have very good selections. So we ate, and enjoyed that. And then my son and I left and we went to go get in the line for the Jedi training thing. And basically they walk you to a certain point in the park and then that's as far as you can go. And at 9 o'clock, they start to walk you where you actually sign up for the Jedi training. And we were second in line to sign up for that. So I had my times all laid out of what time each show we wanted to see was going to be. And, so I picked the time that was going to work on our schedule and got him signed up. And then some things happened and I got discombobulated and we went because I was going to rush to see Toy Story Mania, which we didn't have a fast pass for. And we wound up in a 30-minute line. And that was the longest we waited for anything the entire trip. But I don't know, the process of signing him up, you know, getting away from breakfast, meeting back up with the rest of the family kind of got me off kilter a little bit. So I had to kind of, while I was in the line, I kind of had a minute to recombobulate and get back together. But they loved that ride. We rode that ride 3 times, I think.
Toy Story Mania?
Yes.
How did you ride it 3 times? By waiting in a standby line, or did you get a fast pass?
Later in the day, I had a fast pass for it. And there was a shorter line later in the day. So we just enjoyed riding it several times, but we did wait that first thing in the morning. And then we went, from there, we went to the Voyage of the Little Mermaid, the Legend of Jack Sparrow.
What did you think about Jack Sparrow?
I thought it was lame.
It's so lame. It's one of the worst things to me. If you had said you liked it, that would have been fine. But to me, it is so lame.
Well, we had just left the Voyage of the Little Mermaid, which was, I thought, very creative. Mm-hmm. And this was not.
It's not. In fact, if people are trying to whittle down their list of Hollywood Studios attractions, just go ahead and scratch that one off the list.
Yeah, I kept waiting for something to happen and nothing ever did. So
I know.
But yeah. So, and I think we... I'm losing track. I think we did that. We did Star Tours, Beauty and the Beast. Then we had our fast pass for Toy Story Mania again. We did Indiana Jones. We really liked that. That was one of the things when I did my Disney Education Hour. I made the kids watch all the Indiana Jones movies, so they really knew and understood, you know, what was going on, and they enjoyed it and they liked it.
And you know, that might be gone if you go back again someday, because that section of the park is being turned into a Star Wars themed land starting next year. So
Oh,
yeah.
well, that would be cool because, you know, we had him watch all the Star Wars movies, and then of course after we did Indiana Jones, we did the Jedi Training Academy, and that was really fun. And we have so many pictures of our son fighting Darth Vader and the stormtroopers, and it was really, I like how they did it, and they made it very realistic for the kids, and the kid, you know, all those little kids that were in that Jedi training were really excited and, you know, happy to be fighting Darth Vader and not turning to the dark side, you know. So it was really fun.
Yeah, it's cute. I don't have little kids, and I don't have kids that are into characters, but my joy is seeing other kids like yours do the stuff because it's just so fun to watch other people have fun, even if you don't have it. So I think even if people are going without children, it's fun to sort of watch everybody else. So was anybody brave enough for Rock and Roller Coaster or Tower of Terror?
Yes, and on our if I can email you the video for our Tower of the Terror that we got, I didn't understand this memory maker thing I had until this moment. But when we did Tower of Terror, our daughter was so terrified, and it was so funny to me. I know that sounds terrible, but it was so funny. And when we saw the picture, we laughed so hard. And she was laughing at that point, but I went to go buy it, and they were like, "No, you already have it." And I didn't understand how all that was working. And then when we got back to the hotel that night, there's a video of us on the ride, which is so cool. And when we showed that, everybody just goes hysterical because it's so funny.
That's a good one for them to do that. So just to clarify, the way that this works is that when you have a Magic Band and Memory Maker, that instead of just getting an on-ride photo, you also get an on-ride video. And the first ride to get it was Tower of Terror. And then just today they announced that Seven Dwarfs Mine Train now has that.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they will roll it out to other rides eventually. Like I think Haunted Mansion is supposed to be one of the next ones. But anyway, it is fun and it's a great incentive to get Memory Maker because Tower of Terror, an image is great, but the video, that's even better because I'm sure your daughter had a terrified look on her face the whole time.
And it was like she was holding on to my husband and screaming, and it's just funny. And then, but my son had a death grip on my arm, and it was really funny just to watch both of them do that. So we did that. We missed lights, motor, action. That was one thing I had on my list, and we missed it somehow. I can't remember how, but we missed it.
There's only two showings of it. It's a hard one to catch sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then we went on the we did do the Great Movie Ride on our way somewhere. I mean, and there, you know, there's a gunfight that breaks out in that, and my son literally ducked under the seats and everything. So that was a fun one. We liked it. And then we went on Rock and Roller Coaster, and I love we my daughter would not go. The rest of us went. The oldest daughter, Jasmine and Sawyer and my husband and I, we went. We loved it. And then after we did that, we had dinner at 50's Prime Time, which was one of the highlights. I think we laughed more during that dinner than at any other time during the trip because our waitress was hysterical. And she picked on me the entire time. It was like, you know, I had my elbows on the table and she's yelling at me to get them off. And I asked for sweetener, and she would be like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're asking me for that." She would look at my husband. He's like, "Is she always like this?" And the kids were laughing hysterical. And I mean, the last thing she did, I mean, she was just picking on us the whole time. And then my daughter asked for a spoon for her ice cream sundae. And she gave us grief about that. And then when we weren't expecting it, she walked by and literally threw the spoon at our
Oh
table.
my gosh.
I screamed because it scared me. And my husband was just laughing so hard. It was really, really funny. And then, you know, we're going to leave and she's yelling at me because I didn't stack up the dishes. And you know, I can't believe the way you treat me. And it was really funny. Really, really funny. So we
And
enjoyed that.
were you on the dining plan or not?
Yes, I was on the
Okay,
dining plan.
so at 50's Primetime Cafe, you had some big desserts. Right? You had a cup, you had a few big desserts probably.
Actually, because we paid for that one. I listened to your podcast about getting the best value because we did the hoop-de-doo later in the week and we had put in that breakfast. So we decided that that was the meal we were going to pay for because it was less, it's less expensive. And like the portions were so large. My daughter and I shared one. And I think the twins shared a plate and we were fine. We had enough to eat. But yeah, it was a huge portions.
Yeah, I think that's such a smart decision because the entree portions and the dessert portions there are really, really big. But I was just picturing you on the dining
Right. And we
plan.
didn't get
I was picturing you with a table full of these huge desserts that were like mostly uneaten because you would all get one on a dining plan and they're just too much. But and so did you stay for Fantasmic?
We did. We absolutely did. And it was, I was a little concerned when we first got in there because of where our seats were. We were kind of on the edge. And they had the VIP section reserved. But it worked out fine. I mean, we had wonderful see, I mean, we saw everything and it was great. And we were up higher and I'm glad I wasn't down low because I didn't want the mist all over me from the, but that was amazing. That was one of my favorite things. I just so creative. And it was neat. It was, the kids enjoyed it.
Good. I love that show as well. Somebody asked me on the Facebook page on their Sunday night Q&A, they said Illuminations are Fantasmic. And I said, well, that's going to start a war. But Fantasmic
Right.
to me is Fantasmic's more entertaining for families because there's a lot to look at and a lot of elements that keep you always busy, entertain.
Right.
So I like that as well. Okay, so that was probably the end of your Hollywood Studios day, correct?
Well, no, the my husband took the twins and went back, and my oldest and I went and did Rock and Roller Coaster one more time. And then we headed back. So
Did
that was that
you
kind
do that in the single rider line?
of, we did. We
Okay.
sure did. We didn't know we did it in this. We didn't know that that's what we were doing, but that's how we wound up. And I was sort of bummed because I wanted to ride with her. And the guy was like, okay, well, when you get off, just come back through this door and I'll let you ride it together again. Which we wound up, she was like, no, I'm done. I'm ready to go home. But I thought that was cool that he was going to do
Yeah.
that for us. So,
That
but yeah.
is nice. I like when cast members add those little extra touches. All right, so sounds like you had a full day at Hollywood Studios, and then I think your plan was for the next day to sleep in and have a late start. Did you end up doing that?
I did. And when Jasmine and I got back to the hotel that night after Hollywood Studios, the twins were already asleep. And we were only 20 minutes behind them. They were exhausted. And so we let everybody sleep, and no one was awake before 11 o'clock except me. I did laundry that morning. And so I was kind of back and forth, doing that stuff. But they slept and slept, and they just relaxed and chilled out. And we took my oldest and my son to the pool, and Sage wanted to just be in the hotel and play on the iPad, which we felt comfortable leaving her in there because I wanted to go to the pool. So the four of us went to the pool, and she stayed in there and just played on the iPad for the few hours that we were at the pool. And we'd go back and forth and check on her easily because we were close enough to do it. And then they had we ate lunch there, and we just didn't really leave, the resort. We just hung out there for the full day until it was time to go to the Halloween party.
Yes, so you had tickets to the Halloween party, which you can get in as early as 4. What time did you end up arriving?
We got there just after 4 o'clock. And so we, because we had done Fantasyland, we headed over in the direction of Tomorrowland and, not Tomorrowland, Frontierland and the other one. What am I thinking of? Liberty Square or
Yeah.
something. Yeah. So we headed over there and we started, we just did things around there. I left my plans at home. I walked around with my sheet protected itinerary. And
Yes. Yes, I've been there.
yeah. And I left it at home. So I was very discombobulated, or I left it back at the hotel and I was really discombobulated with what we were supposed to be doing. we wound up having a great time. We did all the little rides, where we went to the Aladdin carpets, and I had made them watch Swiss Family Robinson. So the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse was really cool for them to look at. The first thing we did was Big Thunder Mountain, and we had to trick Sage into getting onto that, but she did okay with it. And we rode that, and then we just did all the little things, in that general area. And starting at 7 o'clock, there was going to be a dance party, a villains dance party in the Diamond Horseshoe. Mm-hmm. So we lined up for that. And this was one thing. My daughters especially really got into trading pins. I got on eBay and got like 50 pins for $20, mm-hmm. and set them up on a lanyard. And so when we were waiting for things to happen, they would find cast members and trade pins, and they got some really nice things. And that was really cool. So they did a lot of that during that time. But we got into this dance party, and it was really funny. It was Cruella De Vil, the Tremaine women. I have a hysterical picture of my husband dancing with Lady Tremaine, where she's just expressionless and he's boogieing down, and it's funny. But the kids really liked that, and it's not so much that they really wanted to dance; they just wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. What these people were doing, and the tall skinny guy from Princess and the Frog. I'm terrible with characters' names.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
He was there, and so I mean, there were several of them, and they were dancing with everybody, and everybody was having fun. And then my oldest daughter's name is Jasmine, and so we had to go get a picture with Jasmine. So we left and went and did that. And then after that, this is where the weather kind of started to get in our way, because there was a showing of the Villains Mix and Mingle, like they had the first one, and I took Kenny the Pirate's advice, and I was trying to hit like the second and third of like the parade and that Villains Mix and Mingle. Well, the only showing was the first one because it rained, and then for the second one it was too slick, and then for the third one it started to rain again. So we never got to see that. And that was kind of a bummer because we waited around, for that and kind of wasted about 20 minutes, waiting for that stuff.
So with the rain going on during the party, what were you able to do?
We did the Haunted Mansion. We got on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train again. I mean, and we walked on to every ride. I mean, we knocked out the Tomorrowland and the Liberty Square and kind of that whole section of the park. And then anything else we wanted to do, we walked onto every ride. Mm-hmm. So we didn't go back over to Space Mountain, and nobody wanted to get wet so we didn't do Splash Mountain, but we rode everything that was there. We did the Country Bear Jamboree, which I don't think is probably ever really crowded, but and the kids really didn't want to trick or treat. They wanted to like look at things, and they wanted to go in gift shops, and they, you know, they wanted to see, you know, all of that stuff. So we just did that. And then we caught the last Boo to You parade, which was really cool. They liked it. And I'm trying to think, we were eating at Cosmic Rays Starlight when the Celebrate the Magic, the Halloween Celebrate the Magic show came on, and where we were sitting, we were watching it like from that window, which may not have been the best place to watch it, but the kids were starving and they needed to eat. So we finished eating, and then we went back out there for the Hallowicious fireworks. Mm-hmm. I think that was worth the price of the ticket.
Wow.
It was just amazing. What they did with the castle and the fireworks, it was just unbelievable. And it went on for, you know, 30 minutes, and it was.
Okay, so it sounds like you got your money's worth at the Halloween party because you had walk-ons and special entertainment and all that kind of stuff. So are you glad you did it?
I am glad I did it. And I liked how everything was, you know, decorated so cool. And when we did the Haunted Mansion ride, I pretty sure that the characters are not as decked out as the, or the cast members are not as decked out during the regular operating hours. They really had a lot of makeup on. They wouldn't smile. We took pictures with them and they were really funny and talking about what it was like to be dead, and which is kind of creepy. But so we did the Haunted Mansion and we got our picture taken with the hitchhiking ghosts and stuff. And that was kind of the last thing we did. And then we were, and it was because it was starting to rain again, and the youngest, it was getting pretty close to midnight, and they were done and they were ready to go. So we were walking out of the park, and we went this kind of, we were trying to go this back way to avoid a crowd. I don't know exactly where we were, but as we're walking around, we almost knocked over Princess Tiana. Oh. She was coming out. And so she took, and I have these great pictures from PhotoPass because nobody was there. It was just her and us. And she took the girls by the hand and they're just like looking at her like she's amazing. And, you know, it was really cute. So we got some cute pictures with her. And then we hopped on the bus and went back to the hotel.
All right. So at this point, you have spent two full days at, or two good days at Magic Kingdom, and you've probably done most everything. So my question is, the next day you were sort of being flexible about what you were going to do. And so mm-hmm. I'm curious what you ended up deciding since you'd already had so much Magic Kingdom time already.
You know, we went back to Magic Kingdom.
Okay, good.
You know, the most difficult part of being so planned and with the kids was helping them understand that they were going to get to do everything that they wanted to, mm-hmm. but that we, in order to get everything done, we had to stick to our plan. So what we did was everybody slept in. We got up and had breakfast and, you know, got ready. And I was like, I said, first thing I want to do is get all of the photo passes knocked out while my hair still looks cute, because I look kind of raunchy in some of these pictures, because after, you know, raining and sweating and, you know, I don't look the best. So I was like, I want to try to get some cute pictures before, you know, the heat, you know, causes me to glisten. And so we got there and we did that. And, we went to Tomorrowland and we did all of that area. And the funniest thing ever was the Monsters, Inc.
Laugh floor.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That was hysterical. My son, they were doing, they spotlighted him and it was knock, knock jokes. And he was so on the spot. He was like, knock, knock. And Sawyer didn't say anything. And he's like, okay, buddy, let's try that again. And everybody, of course, is laughing and stuff. It was really, really funny. And that was one of our favorite things because we, of course, laughed a lot.
I'm sensing a theme that you enjoy when people are making fun of you or making fun of other people or...
That is really funny. And anybody who knows me would agree with you. That's exactly true.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I at this point, I could predict that you would have liked that attraction. But okay. Yes. So you did Tomorrowland, you did some Magic Kingdom stuff. You had a Hoop-Dee-Doo review that night, I think. Which is easy to catch a boat from Magic Kingdom. But did you end up staying at Magic Kingdom or taking a break? How did that day work out?
We did all of Tomorrowland. We walked back over. The kids wanted to just look in all of the shops. And so we spent as much time as they wanted going in every single store. And that was great because it was the last day we were going to be there. So we went all through the Emporium. One of the things I did was Tinkerbell gifts, and I put gift cards in their shoes every morning. So they each had $100 to spend on souvenirs and stuff. And so I let them get whatever they wanted to get with their gift card. I just told them that when it's gone, it's gone. So they spent their money. And there was, a barber shop. And so we got a haircut and they put confetti in their hair. And while they were getting their haircut, the parade was coming. So they were watching the parade while they were getting their haircut. Cause it went right by the barbershop. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. And this is where we took a lot of risk because we wanted to do Splash Mountain. We were running out of time. We were told to allow an hour for transportation. And my husband had gotten some Mickey ears for somebody that he works with that he had to go pick up. So with an hour left before we were supposed to be at Hoop-Dee-Doo, we went to Splash Mountain where we had a fast pass, rode it. And I didn't realize the ride is like 10 or 15 minutes long. I thought it was going to be like a 3-minute ride. It wasn't. So we scrambled out of there. We rushed to the front of the park. We got on the boat and got to, like, at the very last minute, got to the Hoop-Dee-Doo review on, we were on time. So we were, you know, kind of out of breath and very sweaty by the time we did that because we had run through the back end of the park to get there. But, so we did the Hoop-Dee-Doo review and we loved it.
Good. I think that's a good one. I think everybody kind of has fun. The food is pleasing and like the show is fun. Mm-hmm. Did you use the dining plan credits for that show?
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. So you were tier 2 seating in the theater, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We were down on the main floor. But I guess we were kind of off to the side a little bit.
Yeah. Which is, you know, fine. Tier 2 can also be upstairs, I think, too. But either way, I'm glad that you liked it. And then did you take the bus from there back to your hotel?
We took the boat. We didn't see buses, so we took the boat back to Magic Kingdom and then got on a bus. So maybe that we took the long way home.
Well, you know, normally there isn't transportation between resorts, but a lot of times after Hoop-Dee-Doo review, there's buses to take everybody back to their resorts. It's kind of an exception that's available sometimes, but the way that you did it works too.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next day was your last park day and your plan was to go to Animal Kingdom. So is that what happened?
That is what happened. We got up early, we got ourselves, you know, all packed and ready to go and got there before the park opened. It opened a little early, so that was good. We went through the first thing we did was Expedition Everest, and I tricked my youngest onto getting onto that ride and scared her to death. And I have another funny picture. But we liked that, and the mistake we made next was doing Kelly River Rapids and my husband got soaked and I felt really bad. Mm-hmm. but we did that. We did Festival of the Lion King. We did Kilimanjaro Safaris, which was really cool. And we left the park. We'd originally decided we were going to stay later into the afternoon, but we were driving back through Tallahassee because we were meeting up with another group of friends. And so we left the park about 12:30. And so the last thing we did was, I can't think of the name, Triceratops Spin. And the funny thing was I kind of forgot about our snack credits because I took snacks with us. So we had 11 snacks we had to use up at Animal Kingdom, which was fine. I mean, we all got, you know, a drink and, you know, an ice cream or something, but we had a lot of those to use up, you know, on our way out of there. So it was kind of a short day. I wish I would have had more time there because I've heard people say that Animal Kingdom is their least favorite park. I loved everywhere I went and I liked that park. I thought it was really cool how it was set up. And I wish I would have had more time there.
Yeah. It's a beautiful park and it definitely takes less time than Magic Kingdom, but, it can certainly be, you know, a good 8-hour day if you want it to be.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then you headed home and eventually got home. So I have two questions for you. One is, would you do anything different? Because to me, it sounds pretty good the way it worked out, but maybe there's some things you wish you had done a little differently.
No, I wouldn't have done anything differently for my next trip. I want it to be 2 days longer, just to have a little more relaxed time and then fit Epcot in, because I think by then the kids will be more interested in that. But no, I wouldn't do anything different. My husband was so impressed with how we moved through the parks and how we didn't wait for anything. And, you know, the time of year and everything. And we made the decision we would never do this in the peak season in the summertime. No way.
Yeah. It's difficult. You sort of halfway just answered my last question, which is, are you going to go back? So the answer, it sounds like, is yes. So what is the plan? Is it a 3-year plan or what is the plan there?
I think I'm on a 2-year plan. I think that I came in on this trip under budget. And I think that, you know, what I had, I could fit another couple days in on what we, you know, budgeted for this trip. So I think I could pull that together in the next 2 years. And I would like to do that and make it kind of a regular sort of thing. And I would like to do an adult trip. I think that would be quite a blast.
It is. I only did one with my mom and I, and I'm getting ready to do another one with just 4 adults. So I think it's fun no matter what you do. But a very different experience depending on who the people are in your group. Okay. So that, I love talking to you. I think you did a great job planning it. And to me, you evoke the spirit of everything I'm trying to do. You planned really well, you researched, but you stayed flexible. You listened to your family. That's the point. It is my worst nightmare to think about people planning and then forcing everybody to stick to it without any flexibility. So I think it's great because then you come away with, you know, not waiting in lines but, you know, funny memories like running into Tiana or allowing your children to shop. Like, you didn't plan that on paper, but those are right. Those are memories that you have. So you have to me, that is just perfect. So I loved talking to you. So thank you for coming back on after your trip.
Thank you for having me. It was fun to talk to you as well.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Cindy today. Obviously, I was very into talking to her. That's why the episode ran a little long today, but I just love it. And to me, she really does embody the spirit of everything that I hope that you all will be able to do for your trips as well. So loved this episode. Before we wrap up today, I do have a quick tip of the day. And my quick tip is that if you have park hours extended for your trip dates, that is an opportunity to try to snag a FastPass Plus for something that you previously had difficulty for. So for instance, if Magic Kingdom was previously scheduled to be up until 10 and the hours are extended till midnight, then there will be new FastPass Plus openings that appear between 10 and midnight, and you can use that opportunity to get a FastPass Plus that you previously did not have any success with. The way to find out if the hours were extended is that usually on the second Friday of every month, Disney publishes park hours, updates to park hours and new park hours for the following 6 or 7 months. And so you can check that. I have a link in the show notes to where to get those park hours that are published by Disney. And you can also sign up for the email list on the monthly dashboards on the website, because I email people out when something changes in the month that they are going. So for instance, last Friday, or 2 Fridays ago, the park hours changed. I figured out what changed and I emailed everybody in those months to let them know. And then a few days later, FastPass Plus openings came up and people were able to snag a lot of Anna and Elsa FastPasses for those new extended hours. So that is my quick tip of the day. Check the show notes for a couple of links that will help you figure that out for your trip. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, including the links to some of the things I mentioned, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode57. That is the number 57. And if you are listening through an app, you can also check the show description. Until next time, I will see you on the site.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.